were creating a world, I wouldn't mess about with butterflies and daffodils. I would have started with lasers. 8 o'clock, day one.
Hello, everyone, and I hope you are excited. Strap in, Stephen Graham, because tonight we're looking at a lot of famous matches, aren't we?
That's for sure. We both did podcasts where we did our top 100 matches of all time, and the first two matches we're talking about tonight, our co-hosts both had them number one. So,
oh, did they really?
Yeah, Tim had the tag, and Chad had the singles from January. So
interesting. Okay. Well, maybe we'll find out in this show why they are our co-hosts, eh? okay, so why don't we start with the tag then? It's the 12-6-96 Kawada and Taue versus Misawa and Akiyama, the final of the Real World Tag League. And just going into this, and I'm sure you've got a couple of notes, they show some clips of the of the tournament. And Sabu, I mean,
awesome.
He is ridiculous. I mean, every single time we see Sabu, he botches one move and then does the move, like, every single clip. It was very funny, wasn't it?
What's awesome is he would purposely botch those spots, too, to work his character from time to time.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Like, he'd, like, botch, like, blatant botch, and then he does the move again. It's quite funny, I guess. I mean, they do say that, like, it takes, like, a really good piano player to be able to play the piano badly. So maybe Sabu is, like, the greatest wrestler ever because of this? I don't know.
He might make my bottom of my list somewhere. I have a question about watching these clips is, what did you think of your boy, the Patriot?
Yeah, I noticed him there. I noticed him. Didn't think a lot of him in the clips, but, you know, there he was. I'm sure we'll have people writing in to say how great the Patriot is, but, you know, we'll see.
Maybe. I have to rewatch that Bret Hart title match, see how it goes.
Which Bret Hart title? Oh, the Patriot one?
The Patriot one, yeah.
Oh, God,
people
okay.
Praise that one, and I haven't seen it in years, so I think it's time to sit down and watch a good old Patriot Bret Hart title match.
Okay, well, knock yourself out, Stephen. I will not be joining you.
no live right. Commentary.
So, okay, let's stop this Patriot talk now, because there is a very big match here. I'm going to go straight into my first point.
Bob's point.
Is that your best? Oh, too easy. You weak, pathetic fool.
Such a pity. So, right out of the gate, we get a Tiger Driver from Misawa, and then a Powerbomb from Taue. They set the tone pretty early with this one, don't they? No punches pulled. It's going to be a knockout, drag-out affair, a proper war. So they set the tone real early with those big bombs right at the start of the match.
Yeah, and after the talk on our last show about the Tiger Driver being dead as a finisher, and then they hit it in the first couple minutes here, I was wondering what you thought of that.
Yeah, well, yeah. When they did do that, I thought, they're hitting their finishers right in the first minute of this match, but then, I don't know, it kind of, like, it ups the stakes, I guess. Because, you know, if they'd have constantly hit finishers for the next, like, half hour, it would have obviously annoyed me. But this was more kind of a bit of tone setting, a bit of kind of, you know, this is business tonight. We're going to have a war, basically. That's how I took it.
Yeah. Did you have any notes about Taue?
In the whole match? No.
Yeah, because
I didn't know.
He was feeling it early. There was a point where he did this jumping front kick to the head.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It was massive, big boot, wasn't it?
And then he did like three or four drop kicks like he was Ricky Morton.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Taue was big in that early scene setting. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, the power bomb was Taue's that I mentioned.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, power bomb.
Yeah, I mean, that kick to the face is big. Because he's a tall guy, so, you know, it's like his foot extended halfway across the ring. So
and then he hit a huge snake eyes on Akiyama, that power bomb you talked about, and I wrote in my notes, look out, it's Evil Tawe, because he had the goatee. It was just like evil universe version of Tawe just destroying everyone. It was great.
No, that's true. He was like, Okay, well, I'm going to go on my second point, because it's more of a general one as well. The stiffness in this match seemed like it was up an extra notch to me. I mean, there was a sequence when Kawada was just kicking Akiyama in the face, and there was so much heft behind those kicks. And Akiyama is a really special talent when it comes to selling. Yeah. So he was selling those kicks, like, it really looked like he could be getting, you know, slowly killed by the kicks. Yeah. And that little sequence was the start of a long face in peril sequence, in which Akiyama was obviously the face in peril. Kawada's just so nasty to Akiyama. And there was one little neat, I mean, we mentioned Tawe, one neat little touch that Tawe did during this. And I'm sure you noticed this too, is that he was standing guard to ward off any interference from Misawa. I mean, that was just great strategy from a well-oiled team, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I love that moment where Tawe just stood there and was like, you want to try something, Misawa? My friend's beating the shit out of him. And that point where Kawada is just chopping. He did this sequence where he chopped and then kicked and then chopped and then kicked and then chopped and then kicked. It just was like one of the most violent looking things we saw, but it wasn't like the Steve Williams violence where like, oh my God, he's dead. It was I don't know. It seemed a lot better.
It was violence through great offense and great selling, basically.
Yeah.
Well, my third point does relate to Kawada, and it's also my last point and a very general one. And then I'll let you hit some points as well, Stephen. I just thought Kawada's character work was great in this match. I mean, one of the big long debates we've been having recently on PWO, well, I say we, me and a couple of guys have been having, has been like, who's kind of, I've got this rating called Intangibles, as you know, Stephen, and it's really been Misawa versus Kobashi, because I just think Kobashi is slightly higher than Misawa on the Intangibles rating. I do actually think Kawada's Intangibles are better than Misawa's too, because his facials are amazing. He had genuine exasperation in this match and not being able to put Misawa away. He's got the frustration, the viciousness. I mean, all the other aspects of his performance, like his selling. I just think this is a tremendous all-round performance from him. Probably the best Kawada's looked for, well, the entirety of 1996, I think. This is just an amazing performance from him. So, yeah, just general praise for Kawada in this match and for his character work. So
and you could really praise each one of these guys for different things in this, because Akiyama was a hell of a little face in peril and selling like crazy. Tawe, we talked about him earlier, but even later he hits this monster tope and he's just a monster destroying people, you know, his choke slam off the apron. And Misawa just a lot like when he was teaming with Kobashi, where he was just trying to bail out Akiyama and save the day for him. So they were all, you know, some people say this is the greatest match ever. And these were some of the greatest performances ever. All four of them just hitting on all cylinders and really no downtime. This wasn't like, it didn't feel like it was an exhaustive, stretch of finishing stuff where, thing are being thrown off, but it was hot the entire match. It kept up an insane pace.
Yeah, just two really good teams going at it. I mean, I did think it was a transcendent match. In terms of my own top 100, I was just looking at my own list here and where I'd have it, because obviously I'm going 5 stars. I mean, I think it goes without saying.
Yeah. I actually, this match, Tim made me watch before, so I watched it when I did that top 100 list. So
where is it on your list?
I had it number 9.
Yeah, so I was thinking right around 9 or 10. I have it below the 95 tag that we watched, Stephen. Yeah,
that was my number 1. So
I have it below the 86 Yatsu Choshu tag, which I love. This is that, the one from January 128.
Yeah.
I also have it below my Funk's Sheik Abdullah, which I love. And there's also another tag that we've watched, 12-3-93, Misawa and Kobashi versus Tawei and Kawada.
Yeah.
See, that's another one versus... I've got that one slightly above this one as well. I've also got it... I'd also have Chaitan Rumble above it, the Flair Steamboat. I just think that is another match for the ages. So then I was looking like, what would I put it over? And then right above that, I've got Bret Owen, WrestleMania 10, and Hanson Kawada from 93 that we love. Mm-hmm. I think it would be right around there.
Yeah. I have it as the second best All Japan match and the second best tag match ever. So
okay. Well,
below Bret Hart, Steve Austin from Survivor Series, and right above Atlantis versus Volano 3 for the masks.
Yeah.
In that spot, so
just madness. I mean, I've got no, I'm joking. I've got one. I don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, possibly 8 All Japan matches over this one. So I guess that would make me a lower voter for it because I don't see it quite. But I don't know. It is really, really good. But when you're getting to that level of match, there is just so much, you know, stuff like War Games 92, you know, it's hard, you know, they're all just amazing matches, you know.
Yeah.
Magnum Tully, Jumbo Tenryu, like, all, you know, these are all matches for the ages.
Lawler Dundee.
Not for me. Not for me. Well, the last one I watched, I haven't seen them all yet. But,
yeah.
So, okay. So that's where we are. And now we're going to go to 12097. This is Misawa versus Kobashi. And I wrote a note to Stephen because we kind of binge watched these, didn't we, Stephen?
Yeah.
And I said, this is like eating an entire tub of Ben and Jerry's ice cream and on your own, and then opening another one and eating that as well. I mean, it's a lot to get through in one day. However, do you have any notes coming into this? Because I don't.
No, it's just actually, like, the only thing I noticed is, you know, with Kobashi this time coming in as the champion, and it's his first defense against Misawa, who has been the ace for so long. It was just kind of this interesting dynamic of, can Kobashi actually become the ace by beating Misawa, or is he going to step back in line? That was kind of the feel of the match going into me.
Right. Okay. Well, let me go into my first point, which is actually quite similar to my last first point.
Bob's point.
Is that your best? Oh, too easy. You weak, pathetic fool. Such a
pity. It's, Misawa hasn't come to play today, has he? Straight in with a baseball slide, back suplex from the outside in, sent on. And it's like, Kobashi, I know we're friends and things, but I've come to win, so watch out. It's just like, I am not messing about today. So I just like that, some of that kind of right out the gate attack from Misawa there. Because it's Misawa as the challenger, which is something that we don't always see because he's so often the champion. So I just thought it was interesting that he really, when he has to win, he's going to come out like this.
Yeah, and he's got to reclaim his mantle as the top guy, and he's not going to leave anything to chance. He's going to go balls deep in this one. So, and he was right from the start, just destruction, which was really good to see. I like when Misawa is kind of throwing his weight around as the man. That's good. The way, like, he's really good at selling and everything, but I kind of like when Misawa's just like, fuck y'all, I'm the best, and goes to it. So,
yeah, well, you definitely get a glimpse of that in this early going here. But then he hits his arm, and this is my second point. Kobashi's attack on this arm is some pretty good psychology, I think you can say. He just immediately capitalizes on that injury. I love the way that he angled the throw into the railings on the arm. And then followed it up with a sustained and focused beatdown of that arm. I mean, I really like limb work of this variety. It's just simple, effective storytelling, good strategy. You know, good ABC wrestling here from Kobashi.
Oh, I thought this was the highlight of the match, really. From the point, like the first 20 minutes, 15, whatever it is, before they get to that point, I thought was, you know, it's a nice building match. The moment Misawa goes for that flying elbow and misses and hits the guardrail with his arm, that's when I thought this match was the best. Up until the point where Kobashi has, he basically has Becky Lynch's disarmer on Kobashi and or on Misawa, and it looks like, you know, we're gonna get a tap out in the middle of the ring, like 20 some minutes in, and I was like, this is gonna be friggin' awesome. Of course, it continued from there, and there's a lot of good stuff, but that really, that stretch from the time Misawa first injures his arm till he's got the arm bar on, he's almost gone to tap, was some of my favorite stretches of a match we've ever seen here.
Yeah, well, my third point, let's talk about character work, and let's talk about Kobashi's face for a minute. How great is Kobashi at showing determination? Question.
Yeah, well, one of the best, really. Yeah, he's a little less comical in this one. Like, you know, he's a little less cartoony here.
Yeah, well, this was serious business, so.
It was, yeah. Yeah, and he was focused. I kind of liked him as the Anderson, kind of in this one, taking on a completely different role.
I mean, we talk about making, you know, holds and things compelling. Just watch what Kobashi does in this match when he's working a hold, or when he's sitting in a hold, or when he's taking a move.
That armbar that I brought up earlier.
Yeah.
Kobashi's look on his face when he's got that arm on and he's wrenching and wrenching, and eventually Misawa makes the ropes. That was just so good.
Absolutely fantastic. And then, and this is the fourth point, Kobashi hurts his arm on the lariat from the top rope. Now, how amazing is he at selling this arm?
Oh.
I mean, this is just all-time great selling. And I was watching specifically for his long-term selling of that arm. And watch him, if you watch this match, look at his selling of that arm across the entire finishing stretch. It is really something. Add that to the desperation and the facials and all the other aspects, and this is just, I don't know, I think this is one of the all-time great performances of any wrestler from Kobashi in this match. So,
yeah. I thought it was damn good, so, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The you know, he hits the arm on the lariat, and then it's kind of turnabout because we have, you know, Misawa's got a bad arm, and now...
And then they go to work on Kobashi's. Yeah, that was a great moment, too. I wrote down holy shit at that point when he gets caught on that. But yeah, that was a big moment, and really kind of like, you know, I love when you get the turnaround, you know, is fair play or whatever that term is, where what you're doing to the other guy gets done to you. I always love that in wrestling.
Well, my fifth and final point is that there is a moment in this match about 10 minutes before the end when both guys are outside the ring just dying with various different injuries and ailments, and I thought it was absolutely awesome. There's like Kobashi's dying, like his back is hurt, Masawa's arm is gone, his leg is hurt, you know. I really loved that moment before the finishing stretch there. So,
is that before or after the apron spot?
I can't remember exactly.
It was around that time, but that apron spot.
It was, in fact, I think it was just after it. Maybe that was the fallout of the apron spot. I'd have to go back and have a look. But
yeah, I think it was. But yeah, so we all know Misawa is devastated by moves off the apron to the floor. So Kobashi takes notes from Taue and tries a powerbomb off the apron to the floor to kind of completely finish Misawa off because nothing else he's doing will do it. And Misawa counters with a Rana, like he was Tiger Mask all of a sudden. That was a really great turning point moment of the match for me.
Yeah, so could I trouble you for a star rating, Stephen? I don't think there's any, I mean, I just think it's a 5-star blow away, great, awesome match.
There was one thing that bugged me.
Okay.
Because, like, I, you know, it's a 5-star match. We'll talk about where it places all time in a minute. But the one thing that puts it out of the realm that Chad and maybe yourself might be thinking to me, I didn't like the kick out of the Tiger Driver 91 at the end. I thought it was too much.
Kick out with the Tiger Driver?
The Tiger Driver 91. He like just completely destroys them with this the Tiger Driver. He looks dead, and he barely gets his shoulder up, but I feel like that should have been the finish. I felt like it went that was one kick out too many to make it like a number one or top five match of all time for me. It pushes it down to like 10 or 15 or so.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I was thinking about this, and currently, and this is quite a big call, I have it number two on my list all time, just behind Clash 6. So I've got this ahead of Jumbo Tenryu, which is a pretty big call for me, and also ahead of Magnum Tully. So I just think it's a transcendently great match and the best match that you and I have seen, Steve, and I really do. I would have it above all the other big matches that we've seen. There's 6-3-94. I've got that four on my list. The 95 tag was right around there as well, wasn't it? I'd have it above all of them safely. I just think that, you know, Misawa is on the top of his game. Kobashi is just, you know, this has got to be his career best performance right here. And he's had some pretty amazing performances. So,
I think I like 6-9-95, his performance in that better.
Okay, yeah, no, I can see that. Yeah, I can see. I mean, that's a great match too. I think this had more emotion to it, which is something that you know, it's probably like the sternest test that Kobashi's had for his run so far, his title run.
So, I don't know, more emotion than 6-9-95, where he's diving on Misawa's leg to save it. And he's getting, you know, Tawe is choke slamming Misawa onto his leg, and he's like crying because he's in so much pain. And
we're splitting hairs here. They're all really good. I currently have this higher. I think I came away from it. I don't know. They're all really good matches. Yeah. These ones that we're talking about. So you know.
I think looking at it, Atlantis Volano 3 is 10. I don't think it's above that. Then I have Jumbo Tenryu, Brett Owen, Flair Steamboat from The Clash, Brett Austin from...
An absurdly low rating for that match. Ridiculous.
13. That's pretty good. That's Brett ridiculous. Austin, WrestleMania 13. So it's going to be somewhere in that range. It's probably going to be 13, 14, 15, 16. Somewhere in there for me.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. I think you get a sense of the sort of things that Steven and I like. Clash 6-13, come on. All right. Okay, so from here we'll go to the sublime, to the ridiculous now, because it's 6-6-97, and it's well, on paper, possibly one of the best matches ever, Misawa versus Kawada. But any notes going into this one?
One, Dave Meltzer gave this 5 stars, which is interesting.
Yes.
Two, I don't think it was on my original list I gave to Charles, but I think he put it on there, if I remember correctly, just to see.
I think he's deliberately done that.
I think he has.
I can see why. And my first point is a very long one, and it culminates in a question for you, Stephen. You'll be pleased to hear.
Bob's point.
Is that your best? Oh, too easy. You weak, pathetic fool.
Such a pity. Here's the first one. It's a major talking point with some people, Chad, for example, who's had many shout-outs on this particular show, that Kawada has more disappointing performances in his resume than either Misawa or Kobashi. I mean, that's why he is currently doing the Misawa versus Kobashi comparison, and Kawada's not in the running for him, okay? Now, I've been thinking about that, and I think that it may come down to how much downtime there is in those matches that Kawada's not hitting the highs, okay? And this one here is quite a good example, because there's a ton of aimlessness and drifting in this match. Kawada's not quite at the races. The same is true of his match with Hase that I didn't like very much in 1999. The same has been true in other matches I've not liked of his. Now, in my own rating system, as you know, Steven, I do not let these negatives affect my ratings too much. I don't really register the negatives. I think Kawada has enough great matches to get a 10. He has enough variety of memorable matches to get a 10 in that. So all of these disappointments count really for naught when it comes to his case, in my view. But Stephen, you, sir, are someone who actively punishes negatives. For example, you are not rating Shawn Michaels at all because you're down on his post-peak stuff.
And I'm not as high on his babyface post-rocker stuff either.
So I have to ask you, Stephen, do you count stuff like this against Kawada?
I look at it. I think a lot of this time period, like once we get to about this point, I think it kind of hurts all the All Japan guys because they go from – it's interesting because – I kind of look at it as, because you see it, Kawada, Misawa, Kobashi, they just go insane over these next couple of years. And you'll see it in the 98 stuff we watch and the 99 yep. stuff, just inventing bigger and bigger moves, which they go crazy with. The moment all those guys leave for Noah and Kawada's left alone, the style slows down. It kind of changes a little bit. And they aren't as insane with the big spots like that. So like when I look at it, and you if you go on and watch Noah, Kobashi, Misawa, they just, you know, they keep upping the game, while Kawada kind of brings it back more to, you know, more devastating kicks and, you know, submissions like that. And he still has the brutal suplexes, but he's not like constantly creating new moves. So I kind of look at it as Kawada's trying to keep up with these guys, but that's not where his heart is. Mm. So, you know, it will keep him from being number one, obviously.
But it's interesting. I know people disagree with me on this, but I mean, I've just been having another exchange about Kawada. I don't know if you've seen that stuff, but I mean, my feeling is that Kawada's just not like he does want to be slower and methodical. I can see it in him. He wants to be closer to that 70s style, I guess you'd say, the 70s All Japan style. But I just don't think he's very good at it. Like, whenever he tries to slow down, the match tends to be disappointing. I don't know. I just think that, okay, I can see what you're saying, but surely it's, like, on Kawada then, that he's not that brilliant when he does try to, you know, work like a 70s jumbo or something like this.
Well, I love those jumbo Kawada slower matches, and you didn't.
No, I mean, you also like Steve Austin versus Bret from 96, which I just don't think is anything special at all. So
that's my favorite match ever.
So. I mean, but I honestly just think it comes from being immersed in 70s stuff and then watching stuff that tries to be like that and seeing it fail. So that's just my view. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. There's the second of my points here, and here is Childs on Kawada's creative decisions during this match, which I thought was quite incisive. So I'll just read it out verbatim. He says, "I hadn't watched this match in a long time and went into it hoping to find something redeeming, but no, the criticism is all merited. Misawa gave a tuned out performance, and Kawada gave a nonsensical one. The arm work from Kawada was fine in theory, but they pushed it for too long for it to be meaningful, yet not far enough for it to carry real weight. We didn't get any kind of great layered comeback from Misawa. He was either on or off, and Kawada made some really strange decisions, like following a string of head drops with a submission attempt on the arm. He hadn't worked. The crowd even shit on that one themselves. Anyway, despite all of the punishment to his neck, Misawa never seemed in danger of losing. The finishing stretch with Kawada trying to survive was pretty good, but even that felt like a lower quality version of something they'd already done, a definite low point in their great rivalry." And I'll just say that I agree that the armbar after the brainbuster was completely baffling psychology. So
yeah. I feel like these guys must have been like, they must have like concussed themselves early or something. Like they had to have some injury or something that really messed them up. Like, this match was so weird. They were 5 minutes in and they were doing this forearm kick exchange that like usually happens in a match like 25 minutes in. And it was just so weird. Do you have anything about the finish? Because the finish was the most bizarre thing to me.
Well, my final point is simply that we have to talk about excessive head dropping. now, some people have argued that some people have actually tried to pinpoint the exact point that Old Japan falls off a cliff, and they say it's this match. Now, for me, I have to say I don't really care about the head dropping so much. Like, whatever. What I care about is excessive laying on the floor and the complete diminishing returns of going to that backdrop suplex again and again and again. Kawada just seems so bereft of ideas here. And Misawa was like, he just didn't care. He was just along for the ride. So it was, I just found that weird because they worked that first 20 minutes or so in, you know, had a lot of downtime and so on. And then it was like, right, we're just going to go crazy with the head drops now. And, you know, I'll drop you on your head and then we'll lay it around on the floor a bit and then we'll do it again. I don't know. It was such a strange match. So
it was. And it's weird because, like, they have a really good match in 99, like an all-time classic. In 98, they have another good match. So it's just, it's interesting that this one just failed so bad. And the finish, like, so I talked about the Tiger Driver 91 being kicked out in the other match. This one, I don't even know what happened. I don't even think Kawada kicked out, but the referee was just like, oh, let's continue. And then Misawa literally picks up Kawada's corpse and just does a German suplex and gets a pin. There's no reaction until his music plays, and then they start cheering. Like, no one knew what the hell was going on here. Like, what happened?
I don't know. Weird. And I don't know why. Like, why did he finish with the German instead of the... just bizarre.
Did you see him kick out at all?
No. I mean, it was like before, where Misawa just knows that the Tiger Driver is never going to end a match anymore, so he just immediately goes to something else. But yeah, it was kind of weird. Anyway, despite all of that, I do think there are things to like in this match. I mean, so I've got it at like 3 stars.
Yeah, I had it like 2.75, 2.5, somewhere in there. Like, it was good. Like, there was good things in it, and it wasn't like a bad match or anything, but it was just
not classic.
These two should not have a 2.75, a 3-star match. Like, they shouldn't, and they did. So
no, it's interesting to think about. Like, if you think about the great rivalries, I mean, I need to see Spring Stampede 94 again. Yeah. But I think it's probably better than this match. So, you know. But I'm just trying to think of, like, great rivalries that have produced, like, anomalies like this. A strange...
Well, I think part of the problem, too, is great rivalries don't... Like, they had so many high-profile matches that are on tape, too.
Yeah.
Like, how many can you do before you're going to have a stinker because things just don't work out one night?
Yep. I mean, that said, I did have a look. This match does have defenders. There are people in that thread sticking up for it and saying it's a really good match. So
yeah.
Let us know what you think, if you're with us or if you're with them who think it's better. Okay. Let's move on. It's because now we're going to another Misawa match, 10-21-97, and it's the rematch with Kenta Kobashi. Now, what happened to Misawa's beard here? Because
and his hair.
I think he looks tireder without the beard.
I like the hair. It's longer. It's an interesting haircut. I kind of like it there. It's kind of like he's melting into Michael Jackson.
Now, I don't have a huge amount of stuff on this match. This is the fewest notes I've taken for a while.
Bob's point.
Is that your best? Oh, too easy. You weak, pathetic fool. Such
a pity. My first note is simply that there was a lot more stuff on the mat in this one. But when both of these guys are so good at selling, and both of them are so good at moting, Kobashi especially, I thought that the stuff that they were doing here was totally compelling. I thought they were perfectly fine at this stuff that was happening early on in the match. Any thoughts?
Yeah. I kind of like the start here, as they kind of... They definitely go a different tact than the January match. which I like. It's a completely different match. They're both on their game for their selling and their character work here, for sure.
Yeah, and then my second note relates to the finish. So, any other thoughts?
I don't know what to say about this match. It's kind of like a paint by the numbers good Misawa Kobashi match. Like, you get kind of everything, but it doesn't transcend anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like what you would expect from a non-classic between these two. Just kind of there.
Well, my second point relates to the Tiger Driver 91, which we see again. It doesn't quite nail this one like the Kawada one that we saw. Yeah. I don't want to say the move was botched, but it just doesn't look as like absolutely devastating as that one, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It looks more like a devastating Tiger Driver than a Tiger Driver 91.
Now, my question on this is about the booking. How come Misawa's getting the belt back? Does he get the belt back? He does, doesn't he? Like, how come Misawa's winning this match? What happened to Kobashi's push?
Who knows at this point? All Japan, like, I think, like, you know, Baba dies in 99.
But it's not like Kobashi's not over or has been failing in the run or so, like, what's the deal?
I'm looking up the history here. Actually, Misawa won it in January. And then Kawada won it in May. Oh, no. Misawa won it in January. Misawa's the champion.
Well, in that first match we watched?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. No, sorry. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, still, the question, it's still a question to ask. How come they went back to Misawa in 97?
Yeah.
Because Kobashi doesn't get the longest run in the world, does he? Like, what, 6 months? 5 months?
He had it for 180 days. He had it from May to July. So
just something to think about, you know. Yeah. It's like Vince going back to Hulk Hogan time and time again, I guess.
This is go back to the ace. Because it was his, you know, the most successful they were was when Misawa was the champion in for looking here, 364 days. And they actually go back to Misawa here, and believe it or not, he keeps it for 466 days. And his first reign in 92, he had it for 705 days. So it looks like what they've been doing. There's actually a pattern here. They give it to Misawa. He holds it forever. And then they do a couple short reigns. And then Misawa holds it forever. And then they do a couple shorter reigns. And then Misawa holds it forever.
Yeah.
So
Well I just thought of an analogy here, right? This is like the Hogan Savage feud with Kobashi as Savage. Where Kobashi's one is similar to Savage's 88 one, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that's fair. And then going back with Hogan in 89.
Going back with Hogan for a while, and then he has it for a while, and then there's Warrior for a while, and then it's back to Hogan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flair for a bit. Okay, great. Well, I still thought it was a really good match.
I had it 4 stars. So
I had it a 4.5 stars.
Wow.
I really did think it was a very good match. I mean, I am very high on both of these workers, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah. I think it's this point it's getting to be a little too head droppy, and it's hurting the matches for me.
I do think it pales next to the January match, but it's still a very good match. So, you know, 4.5. Okay, so we have the awards. Let's do them, Stephen. Let's do them.
Okay. Match of the night, the tag match. And yours is January, I assume.
Yeah, easily, yeah.
Yeah. Spot.
Lots to consider. Spot of the night. It's going to sound... I think it's the Tawei standing guard.
Yeah.
I just think that's an awesome moment, you know. Especially like the sheer kicking that Kawada gives Akiyama in that match.
Yeah.
Probably that. If not the Irish whip into the guardrail that Kobashi gives Misawa. I just like the assassin like quality that he showed there. But no, I'm going to go with Tawei standing guard.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go with. I'll go with the other one that I really liked, which was the Armbar by Kobashi, where he's like so into it and Misawa looks like he's about to tap but gets to the ropes. I really like that moment a lot. So,
and what's the other one we do?
Top four workers.
Oh, all right. Okay. Right. Well,
Interesting because we have the Kawada match in the middle that kind of might hurt some guys.
Well, I have an order. Shall I give you a tip?
Go for it while I work on mine here.
I will say Akiyama 4. Great performance in that tag match. All-time performance from him. And then I will say it is... Because we only actually saw four guys on this match, didn't we? In this card.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, all right. Tawe 4th.
No, we saw 5.
Who is the 5th guy? Oh yeah, because Kobashi's not in that match. Okay,
yeah.
So Akiyama 4th, Kawada 3rd, all time great performance in the tag match. One of his not better moments in the Misawa match. So all in all, that kind of evens out as 3. Misawa fantastic in 3 of these matches, and kind of phoning it in that. I see the difference in that 97 match is that I thought Kawada was like actively bad at points in that match, where I thought Misawa was just kind of there, like, you know, just phoning it in basically. So it's slightly less of a knock on him for me, but for the other 3 matches, he's on really, really good form. And I think approaching career best form in that Kobashi match, just really good all the way through. And number one, Kobashi, who, as I've said, is just so good in that January match and is also equally fantastic in the October match. Not equally fantastic, but it's another really good performance from him. And I think maybe Barbastro stuck with him longer as the ace there. As the champion.
Yeah, he probably should have. But, you know, you can't complain because I think they went to the Tokyo Dome with Misawa as champion the next year. So they probably made the right decision money-wise. But Kobashi, number one, that one's clear. Man, I want to punish Kawada and Misawa for that performance. So I think Tawe, number two, Akiyama, number three.
Tawe, too?
Tawe was fucking awesome in that tag match.
All right, okay.
The drop, like him just standing guard, the drop kicks, the tope, him just being this destructive monster. Yeah, he was awesome.
All right.
Okay. And he didn't have any bad performances. So then Akiyama. So I guess I have to go with Misawa as number 4 because he had more better performances than Kawada because Kawada only had the tag match to counteract the bad match. So.
Okay, you're letting the negative punish quite a lot there, I feel.
I mean,
Kawada only gave one of his career best performances in that tag match, but he doesn't make it 4.
But then he made his career worst performance.
It's not his career worst performance. I mean, come on.
What's a worst performance by Kawada?
That Hase match. He's awful in that match. So that one, for a start.
Well, I guess you can go to Hustle, where he was doing comedy matches, but... I don't know.
You know, I'm sure I saw some Footloose matches where he wasn't that brilliant. You know, I mean, he's good. He's always good. He's Kawada. He's one of the best workers of all time. But, yeah. You know, it's like we're okay. So yes, interesting. We're starting to see more splits now. We were very close at one point, Stephen, but now we're getting more kind of separation. I feel on some of our awards and things.
Well, I think. You like action more, I think. And there's a lot more like big spots in action and bomb throwing in 96, 97, 98. So I think that might separate things a little.
Yeah, perhaps. But it's not like I dislike psychology.
I know.
They're not mutually exclusive things.
I know. But you definitely like bomb throwing more than I do.
Great. Okay. Well, what are we doing next time?
next time we have we're trucking along. We got the Tag League final of 97, which is a rematch of the Tag League final from 96, Misawa Akiyama versus Kawada Taue.
Right.
Obviously. Then we have May 1st, 98, Misawa versus Kawada. That's June 12th, 98, Kobashi and Kawada.
Right.
And we ended out in July 24th, 98 with Kobashi versus Akiyama, which I don't think we've seen as a singles match
yet. No, in fact, we haven't seen many Akiyama singles matches at all, have we? So that might be quite interesting. And, I mean, as ever, we have to be excited because these are the great, some of the greatest guys of all time. So I'm sure some of those matches are going to be really good. And that's our penultimate show, isn't it?
It is.
So we have two more left after this.
In theory.
In theory. Or at least before the GWE deadline, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, join us then, listeners, for the All Japan Excite series.